Saul of Tarsus. Now, this was a man that was going to become Paul of Tarsus, the missionary. But Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus. He had letters in his pocket. They were from the high priest at Jerusalem, that if he found any of this way Christians, any of this way Christians, whether they were men or women in the city of Damascus, he could bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem for them to be persecuted. As he approached the city, the Bible says that there shined around about him a light from heaven. That light from heaven was the light of the world. That light from heaven was the Son of God. That light from heaven was the Lord Jesus Christ. That light spoke, said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Jesus had said earlier when he walked the earth, he says, "In that you do it to the least of these my brethren, you do it unto me." And so he was asking Saul, as he persecuted, was ready to persecute these in Damascus, and these weren't the first people that he'd persecuted, he'd persecuted others. Jesus was asking him, "Saul, why are you persecuting me? You may think you're persecuting this way, you may think you're persecuting Christians, but in reality, you are persecuting me." Paul didn't recognize the voice. And so he asked a question. He knew it was God, but he didn't recognize the voice. And so he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And that voice from heaven said, "I am Jesus." Amen. Now, I think it's important to note the words in the Bible. And I'm going to mention a couple other ones tonight for you to notice. I am the name that God gave himself when he spoke to Moses at the burning bush. I am Jesus, the name that God took for himself when he took the form of a man. What Jesus was telling Saul, you're persecuting the I am God of the Old Testament. Saul, you're persecuting the Son of God, Emmanuel, who came to earth, took the name of Jesus. That's who you're persecuting. Saul, the Bible says, trembling, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And Jesus answered from heaven. He said, "You go ahead into the city, and I'll tell you what to do." Now, as a result of that bright light from heaven, Saul was blinded. And so those that were with him, the Bible says, took him by the hand. They led him into the city, and they took him. I want you to notice this word. They took him to a house on a street called Straight. Now, there's no accidents in the Word of God. There are no mere coincidences in the Word of God. Everything that's in this book is there on purpose because it's been always part of God's plan for all eternity for it to be there. I mean, God, even though, you know, the original was written in Greek in the New Testament, God knew it was going to be translated into English. He knew we were going to have a Bible that says that he was taken to a house on a street called Straight. He wasn't taken to a street called Israel. He wasn't taken to a street called Jerusalem Way. He wasn't taken to a street called Eden Avenue or Ark Boulevard or the Lamb's Way. I mean, you could come up with other Bible-named streets if you tried tonight. He wasn't taken to any of those streets. He was taken to a street called Straight. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said this, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Jesus was saying, hey, if you want to get saved, you've got to go in through the straight gate. That straight gate is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. You don't get to heaven, you don't get right with God any other way than by going through the straight gate, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, when Peter and John stood before the leaders and they were told to shut up and quit preaching Jesus. And they said, we can't help but preach the things that we have heard and seen. And in that conversation, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They were saying the same thing. There's a straight gate to heaven. And that straight gate is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to get there is come through him. Well, not only is the gate to salvation straight, but the life that God expects us to live as a Christian, he expects us to do it on the straight and narrow way. He expects us to live our life as a Christian according to this book, not on a broad way, but in a sense, on a street called straight. You see, there are things that happen in a Christian's life on this street called straight that won't happen any other place. They won't. And we can see some of those things that will happen in our lives if we stay on that street called straight in the life of Saul. Now, I have seven of them tonight that I want to mention. This morning, I only had 3 points, but I repeated them, so I really had 6. Tonight, I'm just telling you right up front, I have 7. Amen. Thank you, Kelly. Praise the Lord. Rest of you are worried about getting to your hamburgers and all that other stuff. Don't worry about it. You'll get there in time. All right. What happens to us on the street called straight? And tonight, that's my message. We need to live on that street called straight. We need to live in that straight and narrow way. We need to live the life that Jesus wants us to live as a Christian. Here's what happened to Saul. The same thing will happen to us. Number one, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 9:17, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. The moment we receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Ghost moves in. The moment we receive Christ, we get all the Holy Ghost there is to get. Getting filled with the Holy Ghost is like salvation. It's an instantaneous event. It's not a process. It's not something that happens over time. Getting the Holy Ghost happens the moment we get saved, and we get all the Holy Ghost there is. The question is, how much of us does the Holy Ghost get? How much of us does the Holy Ghost get? You see, the Holy Ghost, when he moves in, he doesn't move in by force. He only moves into those areas of our life where we open the door and invite him to come in and welcome him to come in. Again, the Holy Spirit coming is not a process, but our yielding to him, our surrender to him is a process. It happens gradually. It happens as we mature in Christ. It happens as we yield ourselves, like we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. It happens as we yield ourselves to him more and more. And it's only as we live on that street called straight, living that life that God wants us to live, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, we got all the Holy Spirit, but we may not be filled with the Holy Spirit because there are parts of our life that we say to the Holy Spirit, hey, look, you can have all the rest. You can have this area of my life and this area of my life and this area of my life, but you see these two over here? I want to keep those to myself. I don't really need you in these two areas of my life. I got these two areas of my life figured out. And so you can influence me and you can fill all the other areas of my life, but stay out of these two. Now, we wouldn't say it that way, but we do it. We do it. We need to be more, to open more of our life. We need to open all of our life to the Holy Spirit. We need to yield more of ourselves to him. And the only way to do that, we won't do that on the broad way. We won't do that on the way where sin litters the road. We will open more of ourselves and yield more of ourselves and let the Holy Spirit come into more of ourselves on the street called straight. So he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, he was baptized. Acts 9:18. He received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. First step of obedience in a Christian life. First step that a Christian should take is to get baptized. Now, I guess I knew this, but it's a thought that just never came to the forefront of our mind. You know what the first thing is that the Holy Spirit leads us to do after we get saved? To get baptized. We do that in response to the Holy Spirit leading us to do that. The Holy Spirit tells us, hey, it's the first step of obedience after you get saved. Doesn't have anything to do with salvation. It's an outward sign of an inward change. Like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, in baptized, I die with Christ to the power of sin. And I arise with Christ to a new way of life. Again, like we talked about in Sunday school, when I die with Christ and I rise with Christ, sin no longer is my master. Sin no longer has power in my life. I am no longer under its control. I'm dead to sin, and therefore I don't have to take orders from sin. Like Adam said in open assembly, it's not my job anymore to take orders from orders from sin. The old man hasn't moved out. He's still there, but I don't have to listen to him anymore. He'll try to keep talking and try to keep influencing me, but I don't have to listen to the old man anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ. I have a new nature. The new man has moved in, and the old man, even though he's still there, is dead. That only happens on the street called straight. Number three, he learned to fast and pray. Acts 9:9 says he was 3 days without sight and neither did eat or drink. And it says in verse 11, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. So for 3 days on that street called straight, Saul was in this house and he was praying and he was fasting. There are things in a Christian's life that will only be accomplished through prayer. There are other things in a Christian life that will only be accomplished through fasting and prayer. God said in the book of Jeremiah, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Why would we try to do anything in our Christian life without prayer? Why would we? We need to learn to fast and pray. We learn to do that. We learn to pray without ceasing. We learn to pray persistently. We learn to pray boldly only as we live on that street called straight. Number four, Saul learned that God had a plan for his life. Acts 9:15, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. God sent Ananias, said, Ananias, you go talk to this guy called Saul. And you remember the story. Ananias said, Lord, I've heard that he's come to persecute people like me. I heard that he's been sent from Jerusalem by the priest to arrest Christians like me. Why would I want to go talk to him? And Jesus said, hey, don't worry about it. He's one of my chosen vessels. I'm going to send him, this persecutor of Christians, I'm going to send him as a preacher of Christ. And he's going to preach to the Gentiles and to the Jews and to kings and anybody that will listen to him. I'll remind you tonight, God has a plan for each of us. No person is born by accident. No person is born and God sits in heaven and says, well, I've got to figure out something for this person to do. God has a task that he needs to be done, and he creates a person to do it. That person is born into this world to do that task. That person is prepared by God through all the experiences in his life to do that task. You are not here for no reason. You have a God-ordained purpose for your life. There's a reason why you were born, and you only learn that reason on a street called straight. Number five, He was with the right crowd. Acts 9:19. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. He didn't hang with the people he used to hang with. He was hanging with a new group. He didn't hang with the people that joined him in his quest to persecute Christians. He started hanging with Christians. My pastor used to tell me, and I can remember him telling it over and over and over and over again, you are right now or soon shall be exactly like the people you hang with. It is critical who we spend our time with. It is crucial who we let influence us. And by the way, those two groups of people are one. The people that you spend your time with are the people that are going to influence you. That influence can be good or bad. And so what God tells us is pick people that you hang with that are going to influence you for good. You see, I believe that God sends people into our life to influence us for good. They will influence us the way that God wants us to be influenced. Only if we choose to be around them. And we'll only do that if we live on a street called straight. Number six. And this one sort of goes along with number five. He saw Ananias. On that street called straight, he saw Ananias, a Christian that was obedient to God. Acts 9:12. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. God was going to use Ananias to come in and touch Saul. He was going to restore the sight that Saul lost and the brightness of that light. He was going to tell Saul God's plan for his life, what God wanted him to do, what God had prepared him to do. God was going to use Ananias in a special way in the life of Saul. And again, this point goes along with the previous one. I believe at times God sends special people into our lives. These people are examples. These people are encouragers. Sometimes these people are rebukers. And they carry special things from God for us. They influence us in special ways. Maybe a parent. Maybe a grandparent. Maybe a Sunday school teacher. Maybe a pastor. Maybe a friend. But I dare say that every single person here tonight can look back in your life and you could probably mention a handful, not a whole bunch, but a handful of people that you would deem special in your life. They had a special influence in your life for God. Now, we can do that. I dare say all of us could do that. If I took the time tonight and went around and said, hey, give me the name of one special person that God has used to influence you for Christ, I dare say that every single person could do that. Here's my point tonight. There may be more of those people, special people, that God's going to send into your life. There may be more of those special influencers that God's going to send into your life to influence you in a special way to help you live your Christian life, to help you be what God wants you to be, to find God's will for your life. There may be more to come. And we're only going to find those special people on that street called straight. And then number seven, he started preaching that Jesus was the Son of God. Acts 9:20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. That's what God called Saul to do. He said, hell, he's a chosen vessel. He told Ananias, he said, you go tell him he's a chosen vessel. I'm going to send him not only to the Jews, I'm going to send him to the Gentiles. I'm going to have him stand before kings and rulers. And he's going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we also were made to do. We were made. One of the things that God wants every Christian to do, one of the things that God's called every Christian to do is preach the gospel to every creature, to tell them about their sin. Paul certainly did that. Saul, who became Paul. I mean, he didn't care if he was standing before kings. He didn't care if he was standing before rulers of the synagogue. He told them about their sin. He told them that there was a penalty for that sin. That penalty was separation from God. He told them that Jesus Christ had paid that penalty when he went to Calvary's cross. He told them that the only way that they could get right with God, overcome the sin that everybody had because everybody's a sinner, was to come to Christ. Now look, again, I've used this phrase in all 7 points. You only do that on a street called straight. If you're off that street called straight and you're out in some other way where there's sin all around and you're getting into that sin, you're not going to do what God's called you to do. We're only going to do that if we stay on that street called straight. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Saul. Thank you for his example to us. Thank you for using the words that you do in the Bible. And they just convey so much to us. And I pray that we'd be hearers tonight, but we not only be hearers, but we'd be doers. That we would decide that we're going to live on that street called straight. And we're going to enjoy and partake of everything that happens on that street. The Holy Spirit. Baptism. Fasting, prayer, being around the right people, especially those special people that you send into our life to influence us in special ways, and telling people about Jesus. So help us to stay on that street called straight. Help us to live there in that straight and narrow way that you call us to live. I pray tonight if there's somebody here that's not gone through the straight gate yet, they've not come to Jesus Christ, that tonight, Holy Spirit, you'd help them understand that they're a sinner and there's a price that needs to be paid. They either pay it themselves or they let Jesus pay it for them. And I pray tonight you'd help them decide to let Jesus pay it for them. Help them to come in just a minute. We'll take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom, Lord. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.